These days we have passwords for everything. You go on an internet site, you need a password. You go to the bank, you need your PIN number. You need a password even to open your phone, maybe, to check your messages, to get money out of the ATM. You need a password everywhere you go. In fact, some people even have an app on their phone that helps them remember all their passwords, which seems like a great idea, except to access that app on your phone that remembers all your passwords, of course you need to remember the password to get into that app. Now, before computers, there were different types of security, some of which are still around today. I remember as a kid when I would ride my bike to school, I had a chain with a padlock, and of course that had a combination lock so nobody would steal my bike. And some of you probably have down in your basement somewhere a lockbox with all of your important documents, and that has a combination or maybe even a key. And of course, if you lose the key, then you need a sledgehammer to get into your lockbox. Bank vaults have those huge combination locks on them, or maybe it's a fingerprint or something else to get into those fancy locks. And then long before computers and bank vaults, important documents, and this is where we're headed in all this, important documents would be sealed with a wax seal. And you've probably seen pictures of this, or maybe in movies. You'd have a document that would be written out, important information, and then it would be rolled up so that it looked like a scroll. And then to seal the scroll, there would be wax melted and dripped onto the edges of that scroll, and then often an imprint with whoever was sending the document, their recognizable imprint, onto that wax seal, and the wax would harden and then keep that scroll all rolled up. And this way you would know when the person who was supposed to receive that document, they would know if anyone else has read it because the seal would have been broken. And if the seal is broken, then all the documents, all the secrets inside the document could have been read by anyone. But if you receive the scroll and the seal is still intact, then you know that whatever is stored inside, whatever has been written for you, has been kept secret. So the question this morning is, what if there were a scroll that contained all of the mysteries of life? What if there was a document that was written that contained the secrets of the universe and also told you your purpose, the meaning of your life, why you are on this earth, and also on that scroll you could read how the whole world was going to come to an end? And what if there was only one way to open up that scroll? In fact, what if there was only one person who knew how to break the seal and open the scroll? What if there was only one person who knew the password to all of those great secrets? What if there was only one person who could find out what was written on that scroll? Well, that is exactly what Revelation chapter 5 is all about. So let me read the opening verses. Revelation 5, verses 1 through 4. And again, this is John. We've been reading through Revelation. John received this series of visions from Jesus and the angels who carried the messages to him. And so John begins by saying this. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the scrolls and open, or break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. So John wept. This passage introduces the following chapters of Revelation, which are some of the very most difficult passages, certainly in Revelation, maybe in all of the Bible. So what is this scroll? John sees it being held by God, the one who sits on the throne, and he's told that no one can open the scroll. There are seven seals, and no one can break these seals to look inside and find out what is on this scroll. As you read on into Revelation, which we'll do next week, into chapter 6, and it's really chapters 6, 7, and 8 that tell what happened when the scroll is finally opened, and we'll get to that in a minute. But inside what is written here are some of the most extraordinary images in the Bible, including the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which sounds scary enough, and we'll read through that next Sunday. We'll read about the martyrs of the church. Natural disasters are told about in this scroll, and we'll get into all that next Sunday. But what we need to know for now is that this scroll contains God's plan for the world. It's a pretty important scroll. It contains God's plan for all of history, God's final and ultimate will for all of us and for everyone who lives on this earth. And inside of the scroll, we'll read about terrible things. Violence and persecution and famine and plagues and all these scary things. We'll also see images of things that God's people will face. Images of the brokenness and evil that is a part of this world that we live in and that impacts our lives as well. But then inside this scroll are also many glorious things. We'll also see inside this scroll images of Jesus' great victory, His victory over evil, His victory over sin, God's ultimate plan to bring this world to its final conclusion, which is a good plan. And if this scroll is opened, and here's the key to these opening verses of chapter 5, if the scroll is opened, then God's good plan for this world and for our lives will come to pass. If the scroll is opened, then Jesus will gain the ultimate victory that God has been promising since the very beginning of time. If the scroll is opened, then God's will be accomplished. But John wept because there was no one on earth, no one in heaven, no one who could break the seals. And if that scroll remains sealed, then evil and Satan win, because you see, evil and Satan are already loosed on the world, and they're already causing all the violence and persecution and damage and difficulty for God's people and for everyone who lives in this world. And all those things are going to happen whether the scroll is opened or not. But if the scroll is opened, then those things can be defeated and overthrown. But John weeps because no one is worthy to open up the scroll. And if the scroll remains sealed, then darkness wins. You see, we face the reality of John's tears every day in this life. Will the scroll be opened today? Will God's good plan come to pass? Will God rescue His people, or does Satan win? Does evil triumph? And we face that moment just like John did, looking at the scroll, wanting it to be open, wanting God's will to be accomplished, and weeping because it looks like, so often it looks like, Satan is going to win. Because evil is loud and strong and relentless, and we think, who can ever withstand so much cruelty and hate? And you look around the world, and maybe it's not hitting your life today, but you watch the news, and you know very well that in your family or in your life or people you care about or this community or around our nation or all over the world, that it looks like evil is going to win. Because it's so strong and relentless. And the message of Jesus seems to get lost in the whirlwind of disease and violence and immorality. And that's why John wept. Because it just looks hopeless. Who can break the seal? Who can open up the scroll? Who is worthy to bring about God's good plan? No one in all of history is worthy except for one. And so in verse 5, it says, then one of the elders, who is one of the people who has lived on this earth and gone to be with God in heaven, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sits on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Only Jesus can unseal God's good plan for our lives. Only Jesus. Jesus said while he was on this earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus was talking about salvation, but he was also talking about the way that he leads for us through life. Not just the way to heaven, that's certainly what a big part of what he was saying, but it's also the way that he leads us through this life. Jesus is the key. Jesus alone has that password to open up God's will for our lives. He is the only one who can open up that scroll. And so through Jesus, this whole world was created. Through Jesus, also, this whole world will be judged. Through Jesus, God's will is able to be accomplished. Jesus taught us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. We know God gets his way in heaven, but the question for us is, will God's will be accomplished here in the midst of all this evil and brokenness and difficulty in this life? And so we pray that God's will would be accomplished, and we pray that through the name of Jesus, who alone is able to open up that scroll so that God's will is accomplished. Through Jesus, God's people gain victory over evil. And as we face all the difficulties of this life, the way through that difficulty, the way to overcome that difficulty, is through Jesus Christ, who is the one who's able to lead us through. Through Jesus, we are also, of course, saved for all eternity, saved in this life, but also saved into the next life and forever. Only Jesus can unlock God's plan. Only Jesus can take that scroll and break its seals. And so John's weeping in that moment was turned into worship. As he saw Jesus looking like a lamb, and it's interesting, we heard the passage earlier from John's Gospel, John writing the Gospel, telling about the life story of Jesus, and the reading earlier about John the Baptist, who said, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the one you should follow, but the Lamb of God is coming. And Jesus is that Lamb of God. And so now the very same John looks as he sees this vision in heaven, and he sees Jesus looking like a lamb, but now looking like a lamb who has been slain, a lamb who laid down his life for us, slain and yet living. And the lamb takes the scroll from God's hand, and as he does, worship breaks out in heaven. And Jesus is worshipped as the Lion of Judah, the great promised leader from the Old Testament, the one who would come in David's name and sit on David's throne and fulfill all the promises of the Old Testament, the Lion of Judah, but also as the Lamb of God, the victorious King, but also the sacrifice for our sins. And as he takes that scroll, the angels and the elders, the people of God, and all those around the throne begin to worship, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain." That's why Jesus is worthy. He is worthy to unseal God's good plan because he died and rose again. And that is why Jesus is the one who can unlock God's plan for your life, because he died and he rose again. This is the story of our faith. This is the good news, that Jesus won victory over death when he died on the cross. And so Jesus is worthy to receive power because he has already triumphed over death and sin. Jesus is the Lamb who died, but he's also the Lamb who rose again. Rose again in victory. And so Jesus holds the key to open up those seals, because he was slain for our sins and because he rose again in victory. And that's why we worship him. And that's why all heaven praises him. And as we continue to read, we'll see that it's not only heaven who praises him. In verse 11, John writes, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Jesus alone is worthy. And so Jesus alone is worshiped not only in heaven, but as the angels worshiped, as the elders around the throne worshiped, now also the whole world joins in that chorus. You see, one day everyone is going to realize who Jesus is. In Philippians, we read, "One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." In the end, when that great end comes, there will be no denying the reality of who Jesus is, the power and glory that belong only to Jesus Christ. And this image that John saw and that we're reading here in chapter 5 looks ahead to that time when the whole world will praise Jesus, when they will understand that he alone is worthy to open up God's will for this world. That Jesus alone is able to bring to final fulfillment all that God has planned and promised for this world. And so as Jesus takes the scroll from God's hand, all history hangs in the balance there. Not only for our lives, but for the lives of everyone who has ever lived. And God's plan for the whole world is on the line as Jesus takes that scroll and is alone the one worthy to break its seals. You see, Jesus is the key to every life and to all of history. Because through Jesus, God's ultimate plan can be accomplished. And you might say, well, what is that plan? What's written on the scroll? What is it that we're waiting to hear that is so important for us? Well, what's written on the scroll, and we'll read more of this next week, But in essence, what's written there is the history of the world. Everything good, everything evil, all the suffering and sorrow and death, all the terrible things that we see around us in the world today, along with all the joy and blessings and salvation that God promises to His people, it is the story of everyone's life from beginning to end. And as the world continues to turn and as human history continues to roll along, the question that every person is asking, the question of all humanity, is in whose hands does my future rest? What is the fate of my soul? Who holds my life? What is it all about? What is the future of my life? Is it Satan? Is it the forces of evil that hold us? Is it sin? Is it death? Will evil prevail? Will violence and death triumph? And for many in the world, that might be the answer, the only answer they can find. Maybe it all does just end in death. Maybe our lives just end in ruin and suffering. Or will God's grace and God's love win? Or will Jesus gain the ultimate victory that He has promised? That victory in which He overthrows Satan and does away with sin and totally defeats the death that waits for us, but we hope and trust that Jesus will return and take us to be with Him. And whether we die in this life or Jesus returns first, we don't have to fear death because we know that that ultimate victory belongs to Jesus. And He will overthrow everything that stands against us. You see, the world lives with this tension, this suspense. How is it all going to end? Who's going to win in the end? And I know even for us, even those of us who know Jesus and know that our lives are held in His hands, it often looks like Satan is going to win. It looks like violence and oppression and hate will have the final word. It looks like immorality and lawlessness are going to prevail. Even to us, it looks that way. And so imagine someone who doesn't know God, who doesn't know Jesus Christ or the promises that we have found in Him. Imagine as they look at this world and all of its brokenness and turmoil and hopelessness. Imagine what is going on inside of their hearts. You see, that's why John wept in heaven when it looked like no one was going to be able to unlock God's plan for this world. No one's going to open that scroll. And it's why we often weep too as we watch this world around us, as we even look at our own lives. It's hard to see the hope through all the darkness. But then the Lamb who was slain takes the scroll from God's hand and He begins to break the seals. And God's good plan is revealed. The plan of grace through Jesus Christ. The plan in which evil is defeated and Satan is overthrown. And we remember that the end of the story has already been written. It's been written on that scroll. And Jesus is worthy to break its seals. And so the scroll is going to be read and Jesus' victory is already certain and our lives are already held in God's mighty hands and nothing can take us. Nothing can take us out of His hands. And therefore we rejoice in Jesus' victory because we know for sure that God's good plan will come to pass in our lives. We know for sure that nothing can separate us from God's love that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so that is our good news today. And next Sunday we'll continue to read, and you might read ahead into Revelation, and some of it you might read and say, it doesn't sound like good news, but ultimately we know that the victory belongs to Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll be back next week and we'll continue to read into Revelation chapter 6. But for now, let me ask you to bow your heads and we'll pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your word and for its promises, for the good news that we find there, even in the midst of some difficulty. And we remember that Jesus said in this world we will have trouble. But we also remember that he has promised that through him we can overcome that trouble and that he will gain the ultimate victory. Lord, we thank you for that promise. We thank you for the scroll that has been written. The end is already sure and determined. And Lord, we wait in faith and we trust in you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And I pray your blessing over each one of us today. Help us, Lord, to walk in the hope of